Okay, I guess it's time for us to get started. Welcome, everyone. This is a Chalk Talk for media applications. My name is Todd Landstad, if I haven't met you before. I'm a program manager who has a slide deck that stopped working. So I'm going to go ahead and correct that in a little bit. Program manager in Windows, and I work with media partners, partners like you who are building applications for Windows Store and that are focusing on media scenarios. My background is working in Windows for many releases in a variety of roles. These days, I end up having a program manager role that guides you through the process and represents folks like Marcin and Matt, who've got on stage. So if you haven't met them before, I'm going to ask, say, Marcin Stankiewicz to introduce himself. And
hello.
Say a bit.
Hi. My name is Marcin Stankiewicz, and I'm on multimedia core team. I work with Matthew here on Media Foundation.
Hi, Matthew Howard. As he said, I'm also a developer on the Windows multimedia platform team. So during Windows 8 timeframe, I worked on exposing the media extensions to the Windows Store app environment. And we both work on the core pipeline. So if you have questions on Media Foundation and pipeline, any kind of extensions, if you're building your own media source or thinking about it, building your own transform, we can answer those questions. And
Yeah, we've already received a lot of great questions throughout today and over the course of build. And so the format for this session is really for you to answer or ask those questions and for us to give you those answers. What we'll do is either have you raise your hand and we'll provide you with a microphone. We'd like to record the questions for future use as well. And then we'll use the microphones in the center of the area of the room so that you can just walk up and ask those questions. If you do walk up, we'll make sure to be provide you the next opportunity to ask those questions. So let's go ahead and do we have any questions to start things off? All right, maybe I'll ask a question just to start things. So Matt and Marcin, so in a previous session, you showed us how to use media extensions. I'm wondering if you can give a little bit of an overview of what you showed and some of the highlights to that of what was kind of some of the key takeaways were for that media extension.
So since mine was first, maybe I start. So what I showed yesterday was how to create a media source and instantiate via Scheme Handler. Then I focused my presentation on how to communicate with your source, with your extension, via property set.
Cool. So, and Matt, what about you?
So. Again, I showed a media extension and how to create a media sync and hook that up to the Windows Store app. So a lot of the interfaces that we talk about for media extensions, while there's been enhancements and improvements over the years, a lot of those interfaces are the same as we've had a Media Foundation for a long time. So we wanted to focus on the unique aspects of how to get those media extensions added to your application and for a Windows Store app, and also how to communicate with those extensions from the app, since there's since some of that is new territory. So, and I covered how to get multimedia samples out of the native extension world and back into JavaScript for processing. And
spur some of the questions from folks. All right, Jaron has a question. I'm going to hand you the microphone.
Are there any plans to support additional codecs other than the one that, you know, are built in right now?
Great question. Did you, and we've heard the question, maybe one of you folks want to kind of give a bit of an overview of what we do support. If you can remember, I know we have a big list, and give any detail there.
Right, so certainly I can describe what we do support today, and I'm going to try to go for it off my memory, but you can. We do have a page on MSDN that does say what codecs that we support specifically for the Windows Store app environment. We did get some questions on the format SDK support. And yesterday when I answered a question, I also thought about it later. I do want to clarify and say we do support the WMB, VC1, WMA formats that were used with the format SDK, as well as the MP3 format. Some of the legacy direct show and even earlier codecs, like the ICMs and the, the ACMs, ICMs from a long time ago, some of those aren't supported anymore. Today we have support for H.264, for WMB, VC1, for video formats, for audio formats we support the AAC, both the high efficiency and also the LC. We support MP3 and WMA. There's obviously some flavors of those that I haven't called out specifically, but yeah.
And one of our Windows blog postings is called Building an Extensible Media Platform, and there's a really nice table inside that on that blog posting that does list each of the codecs that we support for both video and audio, but that's a really good summary. Thanks, Matt. Question over here. Sure. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah, kind of a follow-up on the codec support. Are those codecs available for both decoding and encoding? And then yes or no on that. And then are there any licensing requirements that a vendor would need to take care of in addition to what's provided with the operating system?
All right, so I'll just start by saying I'm not a lawyer. not a politician either. So we have encoders and decoders available for H.264, for AAC, for MP3, for WMB and WMA. There's an additional codec that we support only in, I believe it's the Pro SKU. I forget now if there's an add-on pack that's required for some of the formats, but I think it's just Pro SKU, right? And that's just a decoder.
Right.
So we don't, that's just the DD Plus.
So for those, for the inbox codecs or decoders that we provide, there are no additional licensing as long as you're using the platform that we provided you within Windows.
Right, thank you.
If you choose to use additional codecs from a third party, then, and there are obviously a number of them and popular ones that you can choose to license from that third party, whether it's a video codec or audio codec, if you're using it outside of the platform that we provide. And I will say I'm not a lawyer either, but I do get that question sometimes.
Right.
Another question?
Previously, there's lots of post-processing from different hardware vendor. Now looks like in the OneIT side, some of them are removed. So just leave those kind of standard processing like deinterlacing, gamma adjustment, those kind of hardware vendor property one are not allowed to do. So what's the consideration for this kind of limitation? You know, after decoder, normally different vendor will apply like denoise, frame rate, conversion, stuff like that to meet those HQV testing requirement. So some of them are removed, are not allowed to do in current one RTO.
So I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding. I think the question was, what are the limitations on hardware decoders, or why they have to go through a testing process?
Like for DVD or Blu-ray playback, normally after decoding, you will adding some video processor belt or video processor belt HD for adding some denoise, deinterlacing, those kind of post-processing technology to enhancement of the video before presenting. So
we do have, I'm going to see if I can bridge this. So you're talking about the gamma or interlacing support or effects. So The effects that we provide a handful of effects as part of plugins for any application that's playing back video. But since it's an extensible platform, you can add additional ones. I'm trying to bridge what I think the question is, and then a little bit about what you guys have spoken about in the past with the effects that we have and the plugin model that's supported. So, is there maybe a couple of statements around video effects and how they're used in a Windows Store app would be useful?
Sure. So we won't pull in any video effects by default. The application has to opt into using an effect. And we ship one one inbox video effect, which can be hardware accelerated. Sorry, I didn't mean to say software. So we have a video stabilization effect, but again, we won't apply that to your video stream unless you go and opt into that. Any other kind of effect, you would have to bundle with your app. And the app is free to use hardware accelerated video effects on your stream. Now, for clear content, there's no restrictions for if it's DRM protected content that's playing back in the protected process. The effects themselves would have to be loaded into that process and would have to be licensees of the PE license program. So depending on what scenario you're talking about, there's different requirements.
Oh, I was going to try and relate to that of what about in the past if they're used to using, say, in a desktop environment, shared codecs or shared effects or libraries that were able to be taken advantage of by any app because that that codec was installed on the system. What is the difference between that desktop experience and the Windows Store apps?
So now you have to bundle it along with your application, and it has to be added to your package. So every application has to have its own copy.
Okay, gotcha. Another question is, previously in desktop, we control presenter with our own customized render. We can add any feature inside, like compositing any layers of. Like transparent stuff on that, but in the WinRT environment, it's totally controlled by Media Engine, so it's hard for us to implement such kind of proprietary layers on that screen. So, what's your suggestions?
Right.
Thanks.
And so maybe I'll just summarize that in desktop apps, you have a custom renderer and you add overlays or effects to that stream, and you're able to manipulate them, maybe add and remove those customizations. How would someone either go about doing that in a Windows Store app, or what are the compares and contrasts between desktop and store apps?
Right. So, I mean, with HTML and with XAML, you can composite multiple video streams and play them back simultaneously and overlaying them. So there is some compositing you can do there. Obviously, it's not exactly what you're asking for. We do also support for, if you're writing a C++ application, you can use our Media Engine interface for clear content to get access to the video frames and composite them yourselves using the frame server mode of the Media Engine. That gets a bit more complicated again with if we're talking about protected content. So sometimes the scenario may change how you'd implement that. A lot of the time, though, we want to optimize for performance, and that full screen video playback is where you get your burst of battery life. And so if you're doing a lot of compositing and it's not full screen video, you need to think about, is that really the best way to watch or the best experience for your users and customer base? Because a lot of the time it will turn off some of the features that give the battery boost. And
so take like PIP video as an example. You have a primary video and a secondary video playback in the same window. So how do we like enable that if you have such suggestion?
So let me just ask, are your two video streams in sync? Are they, they're following the same clock? So right now we don't have the ability to synchronize two video streams with, for example, the media element. Now, depending on your scenario, you could potentially insert an effect that goes and composites on top of the video stream, render something on top of the video. It could be, another video stream. It's a little bit more work. It's a little hard to know exactly what to say without understanding the scenario in detail. I don't have any comments on that, too.
I don't know what you're exactly doing, but we have support for alpha transparent videos, so maybe that would help to merge two videos together. One stream may have alpha regions and then put it on top of another video tag or media element, and that maybe that would work. Again, the synchronization would be a problem, so I don't know how much off those streams can be.
Great, thanks for that. Any other questions? Yes.
Hi. Do you have any plans on supporting additional streaming protocols? Currently, I think only smooth streaming is supported.
So I'll just say I'm not going to make any comments on plans for support. But I'd be happy to talk about what we have available for Windows Store app today.
And I can just add that, for Windows 8, we do have the adaptive bitrate streaming, which we call smooth streaming, and the SDK that's available on the Visual Studio Gallery. That is the product that we support and produce for Windows Store apps today, and definitely something that we'd encourage you to look at. For the additional formats, we do love the ecosystem that builds on top of Windows. That's what's made Windows successful, and we do see a number of folks building their own content delivery mechanisms on top of Windows to suit their needs. So there are a number of third parties that are doing that. But smooth streaming is definitely the adaptive bitrate mechanism that we provide.
Right, and the next one should be MPEG-Dash, I assume?
And that's something that I think we're all excited about. But at the current time, smooth streaming is what we would suggest as a great on-ramp towards MPEG-Dash.
Okay, and if possible, another question. Hardware acceleration, could you just tell us a little bit more about what is accelerated on what platforms, things like that?
And specifically video acceleration. Yeah. So do you want to describe it?
So I guess you're referring to my demo yesterday. And we had this talk already. Pipeline is hardware accelerated, usually. When it's not accelerated, when you use a basic display adapter or you try to stream, you try to use a remote desktop. In few other cases, for instance, Internet Explorer would turn off acceleration itself. But the acceleration, how it works. So our decoders use direct 3D to operate on bits to decode things in the graphics memory using shaders. Then video may be rotated or in other way transformed by another component in the pipeline using the Direct3D, and then of course we've got DCOM support, and when we render things. And I know that you are interested in ARM hardware acceleration, and I really don't know. Do you have any comments about the ARM support, the acceleration?
Not specifically to ARM. I did just want to add that for the Windows Store app. Our video renderer in our pipeline uses DX11. We use DXGI as an abstraction, but it's the DX11 driver model, so which is a little different than like our older desktop apps would use the DX9 interfaces. So For a Windows Store app, your decoder and your media source have the opportunity to get access to the device manager, and it'll be a DXGI device manager. And from that, you can get the DX device itself, and then create shared resources and use it to render and things like that. We also support DXVA for H.264 hardware accelerated decode, if it's available by the driver, and it's pretty much going to be available with most drivers. So, anything else?
Great. Thanks. Any additional questions? Got one up front. Thanks, Katie.
So this is kind of a non-technical question, but of all the features, I guess, in Windows 8 with media related, are there any that you're excited about but you feel are like underutilized? Like you spent a lot of time making this awesome feature, but maybe not many apps are using it yet, or something like that.
Well, I think in general, I'm very excited about the APIs that we have for Windows 8. We've certainly got a lot of excitement around Media Foundation. I think it was a good bet to move all our resources into improving Media Foundation. We've got a lot of customers using our components, and that's been great. I've certainly been very happy to see the HTML5 video support. So I personally worked on that, and it's great to see people actually using it. And yeah, underutilized features. We did a lot of work to expose what we thought people would use, and I'm pretty happy with it. So.
There are a couple that I'd probably add. You guys have done a great job with the platform. I get to use the platform and work with people building apps. So I think if I can remember all four of them, there are four that I feel are a little underutilized. One of them is you're watching a video and the screen turns off. And I've been doing this Windows thing for a long time. And in past years, that was something you couldn't control from an app. The firmware would take over. It would dim the screen or turn it off. That firmware does still kick in for power consumption for Windows 8. But now the apps have an opportunity to keep this display going. So the number one point is display request.request active. Call it if you're playing video. It'll keep the screen on and then request release when you're done. So that's number one. I get to share my list here, so thank you for the question. Number two is the GPU optimization part that we've talked about, full screen video and longer battery life. I want to use these things for a long, long time on a single charge. So making sure that the video media elements or video is completely full screen and you get this benefit that your customers have much longer battery life. So those are kind of somewhat underutilized. I think the right people are doing the right thing, but we'd love to see that across all applications. Third is probably the background audio and I'm going to forget number four, but since I kept a mental list, but background audio and low power connected standby states, being able to listen to music whenever I want and while my battery's still charged. They're all really easy to use, but we're seeing it in traditional music and video apps, those apps using them. But when we get to other categories of apps, whether it's games or news clips or training videos or any of those types of scenarios, we're not seeing it as much just yet. And of course, we're only less than a week in, so we're still pretty early on the launch. But those are some things that we'd love more people to use. Okay, I'll do over here and then I'll...
In the modern version of IE, when you're looking at an HTML5 video, I noticed that if you swipe to the Devices tab and you have an Xbox, the Xbox will be enumerated in that list. You can watch the video on your Xbox. Is there any way that that is possible within my own application?
So I believe you want to look into the Play 2 contract. And Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the details on that one. And this,
I can cover it.
You can probably cover
it. Sure,
that.
Sure. So Xbox 360 is a certified device for Play 2, which is what you describe as having either video or photos in a media element, then swiping over and hitting that device charm, and being able to pick a device to then project that image on. It's a great scenario for photos. It's great scenarios for short form content. It is unprotected content. So if you're doing premium content, that's not something that's not supported with that. It is H.264 based. So that's something that the device must be DLNA. But on top of that, it has to be Windows 8 certified. And that includes being H.264 capable. And so you will see a number of devices that are getting created by IHVs today, hardware manufacturers, that are compliant. So we'll start to see that that list grow as time goes on. I did, by the way, remember my fourth item as you were mentioning that. And the fourth item that I see under, not so much underutilized, but I'm pretty excited about when you mentioned the HTML video playback, is the ability for someone who's just playing in line with a video tag to have the full screen element come up. So they can just, without any extra code, they can allow their users to hit the UI element and go full screen. I think that's great, just as a for the lightweight apps, kind of that YouTube type scenario. Is pretty cool. Carl.
So I was wondering if you could talk about recommendations for if I want to do visualizations based on audio, right? So maybe I want to have some crazy graphics that correspond to the wave data, or maybe I want to have some animations where I have some characters that are dancing to the beat. Is the recommendation to use the Media Foundation for that, or are you planning on evolving the media element to provide some of that stuff?
So, one question I have just before we can discuss how I would go about to solve this problem is, again, is this a protected content, premium content scenario for clear content? Is this audio only stuff that you're going to?
This would be like, say, an unprotected MP3 that I have. So it's, right. I have my, you know, it's decoded, so I can't really get at the
right.
You know, the bits unless right. I run it through a decoder.
I mean, I would recommend solving that as an effect that you stick into the video tag, or sorry, the audio tag, and you can process the data there. You can insert your effect and have it process the uncompressed audio stream. Kind of what I showed yesterday was grabbing that entire data and sending it back into JavaScript. That's probably not what you need. You can probably extract the information that you want, like run your FFT or do your processing at the native side and just send the information back to render your visualization. And then it depends on how you want to animate, either by rendering or by moving things around. But I can certainly see you implementing that as an audio effect.
Matt, as he communicates with the audio effect, what kind of mechanism does he use to talk, say, from the JS app or C# app down to that effect? Is there a direct mechanism for him to get that information?
All right, so when you register an effect, you can basically, you have an audio tag or a video tag. You can pass in the effect name that you want to instantiate and also the property store, property set, the WinRT API. And the property set you can use to pass in information to allow your effect and your app to do a two-way handshake. And then you can either pass just data across or you can pass across an interface that would let you use your own custom interface for passing whatever data you want. There is one caveat there. If you're going to be using the interface approach, that works for clear content. The interface is blocked for the protected content case for communicating with an effect, and you'd have to use a different solution there.
Cool. I think that's a key point that I've found and gotten a bunch of questions about is, you know, how do I communicate from, say, something, a JavaScript app, how do I communicate to an effect that's been added to the system? So what you're saying is that the property store can be passed through that audio tag down to the effect. And then the second part that I heard that I also found really interesting is it's not just a bag of properties. I can actually pass my own custom interface and have a little bit more elaborate interaction with that effect. That's something that we get asked quite a lot, so that's a great tip.
Yeah, sure. One of the properties you can set is just an inspectable object that can be used to register callbacks and so forth. So that effect can then
call back into my app rather than just pass the data. It can actually call back into that interface.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
And for that, the talk we gave yesterday showed that in more detail. And so I think the talk's already up, and I think we're going to be trying to get we will be getting the source code released probably on CodePlex.
It doesn't show how to do it with effect, but
right.
It can be easily extrapolated onto effects.
Right.
So your comment about Play 2 actually reminded me of something. As far as protected content on Play 2, I know that DLNA doesn't support that and things like that. I know that Windows or Microsoft is now certifying DLNA devices. Like there's a Boombox that's one of the first DLNA Windows certified DLNA devices. But the other side of the story is you've got Xbox Music, a subscription service at $10 a month, and I can't use that $400 speaker system with my subscription tracks. Is there any plans to fix that?
So I can't speak about future plans, but I want to kind of piece apart that just to be sure, because there's a few scenarios that we end up seeing that are really interesting with the Windows 8 PC and your Xbox. So from the Xbox point of view, a wired device could be plugged in either through some mechanism to that speaker system. But I wanted to ask if it's an Xbox question versus the Xbox Music, a little confusing, but the app that's on our Windows 8 experiences.
No, it's definitely an Xbox Music app question, because I know that with a subscription you can stream to the Xbox and send the music there and it plays all your subscription tracks, but the third-party devices that are not made by Microsoft, some Sony media streamers and things like that, media renderers and devices, can't play my subscription tracks, and so that means I have to either buy the music and not use a subscription, or I just don't listen to it on the devices.
Yeah, I think that's something it's definitely a challenge in our overall ecosystem, where you have multiple different kinds of devices, some premium, some not non-premium content, and being able to interact with devices. With the Xbox Music scenario that you're mentioning to say the Xbox, that is premium content, but in fact there isn't a Play 2 scenario in that. Play 2, as we mentioned, what it's great for in the Windows 8 music, Xbox Music to the physical Xbox device situation, there is a communication that occurs, but it's actually the Xbox that is taking over, same credentials, same Microsoft account, and being able to then direct and play that premium content as it does best without using any battery of my device. I simply initiated that command for the Xbox to begin playing. So that's, I think, a really rich scenario, and that's something that our Xbox team has the Smart Glass app that we kind of show that companion device. That's essentially that scenario. I can't speak for other hardware that's in the ecosystem of whether those scenarios would match up and work, though. That's something beyond that straightforward experience. So the Play 2 experience, non-premium content, and then the connection with another device, whether it's through the cloud or a direct UPnP connection, is something that's definitely a great experience. Thanks. Question?
You mentioned that DXVA is used for decoding. So my question is, if DXVA is also exposed for application use, and particularly from protected media pass process, for example, for creating some crypto session with GPU for secure decoding.
Right. So the question is: Is the DXVA interfaces that we use in our decoder available for
application?
Decoder?
Yeah. can be used from application, from web store application.
So I believe they are. They would be marked. We can quickly check. So the DXVA interface would have to be marked as available for a Windows Store app. We can check. You wanna look for it? I can look for it.
Right. In the meantime,
comment on that: the API must be marked as available for Windows Store app for it to be able to be used. I don't usually guess at things, but I'm going to say that it's not marked for Windows Store apps for DXVA. Yeah.
That's why I'm double checking, because I'm hesitating to say yes, it's available. I don't want to say that and then have you go off and I'd rather. However, it's a very important interface, so.
We can continue with questions. Maybe.
Does it work? While working on an application, I hit an issue where putting a multiple media element controls in a scroll viewer was causing issues with media elements stopping playback. And I learned that I can put some semi-transparent element on top of the video and something changes and then it starts working. So I was wondering what sort of performance improvements are you using when there's nothing overlaid on top of the media element versus when there's something on top of it?
Summarize that questions around media element and performance. What are the performance optimizations that are put in place if there are no overlays on top of that media element? And do you want to speak to maybe a little bit of detail about the GPU optimization that does kick in for? So this is around the full screen video that we were speaking about earlier, or different?
Well, I was actually putting multiple media elements playing videos in the same scroll viewer in XAML. And basically, I noticed that there are some differences in behavior, whether there's something, whether there's a control overlaid on top of the video. So I'm not sure if it's a question to the XAML team or if it's a media framework question.
Yeah, that's XAML team composing the output view.
And we heard earlier from one of the Netflix developers on how overdraw was a big impact, or had a big impact on performance in the UI, but that was tended not to be around the media element playback, which I think yours is. So maybe, are you looking at simultaneous playback in multiple media elements?
Yes.
And seeing different behaviors in those? Beyond my expertise, but I would suggest that it's more of a XAML question that we have.
Both XAML and the Internet Explorer team worked hard to make it happen to improve the performance of multiple video tags playing simultaneously. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And I assume progressive download, just pointing to an MP4 or something in those, versus using the adaptive bitrate. Yeah. And maybe I'll say the adaptive bitrate APIs currently support only one streaming, so I think I answered my own question. It must have been progressive.
A generic question. Is there any forum or something that you monitor and answer people's questions?
Are there any forums that we monitor? We definitely monitor the MSDN forums. There are a lot of them, so we do try to do our best in rotating through the ones that we can participate in. I think one of the fun challenges these days is, you know, when we started, probably when a lot of us started coding, C++ was the only way to go, maybe then some COM stuff. But now we've got WinJS and CSS, styling issues. We've got XAML and C#, and then we've got the hardcore C++. So we do have the forums broken up by those categories. There are some common forums, but with that increased amount of forums, We also need to rotate through and where we can provide support. But definitely the engineering team and a lot of Microsoft folks are paying attention to those forums. And honestly, for a lot of our planning as well, when we are looking at how things are being utilized by developers and gathering our data, we use those forums. So it's a great spot for you to post and get your answers, but also just know that those questions and the answers that are shared are also collected by us when we're looking at how we can make improvements to our product. So it's definitely a great place for everyone to participate in and get those questions answered. And you know what, the community, it's one of those things that as a little bit of time goes on, you guys are the experts in your areas, starting to post and responses and getting answers, great way for you to turn back and give to the community. So you start to see a faster turnaround times because you don't have to rely just on Microsoft people. There's a lot of expertise out in the ecosystem.
So maybe just to follow up with the DXVA question, those functions are marked as desktop app only, so they're not available. I would ask just what was motivating you to want to use your own, to write your own DXVA decoder, especially when most of the implementations in the hardware, just curious to see what's lacking. And for example, our H.264 decoder.
Okay. We can take that offline and maybe find out a little bit more about what the interests are in DXVA.
It'd be interesting to see what the motivations are. So.
Yeah. Great. Well, we're approaching up to the hour. If there are any additional questions, I think we'd be happy to take them. We'll be hanging around here for a little while longer as well. We appreciate all of the questions, and I'm looking forward to all the apps that you guys are creating. I hear a lot of great stories. Maybe I'll throw out one question because I know I heard it earlier on. I don't even know if we have the answer for it, so I'm going to put you on the spot. But if I'm wanting to overlay some, create an app and overlay some elements, UI elements on, say, onto that app, but I'd like to have the capture of what happens serialized out into an MP4 file or a video file, what would be some of the high-level points that I would think about in doing that?
All right, so you're talking about combining video streams and...
Yeah, and this could probably the most simple case is combining video streams, and then maybe a slightly more elaborate one would be adding text overlays. Maybe it's just a simple title to that video stream. So that could just be a title as well as interleaved with that video stream.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's multiple ways you can do it depending on the scenario that you're talking about. But if you're talking about capture and then you're writing out to a file, we certainly support inserting effects into the video capture pipeline. You can preview your capture with the effect enabled, and you can also, so you could see it and you have your feedback of what's happening, and then that can also be saved off to the file. If you need to do a lot of very specific manipulations with the video and audio streams, you're also we have the Source Reader and Sync Writer APIs available too that let you have more access at the cost of writing native code in C++. So those are native APIs, but they're available to a Windows Store app that needs to do more sort of editing scenarios or combined.
So Source Reader and Sync Writer. And then can I add any, we were talking earlier, I think, a little bit about DirectX. And in one of the other sessions, DirectX was used in the AccuWeather app, so in non-gaming scenarios. Is there any opportunity for me to add maybe DirectX to that Source Writer or Sync Writer? Reader, Sync Writer.
Yeah. Right. Both APIs support the DX surfaces for video. And for example, you can configure the Source Reader to allocate using a DX allocator. And then when you get the video frames from it, you're free to either draw on top of it or whatever your requirement is.
Cool. Yeah, great. All right. I got my question in. Actually, are there any other additional questions? No.
So it might be actually related to what you were talking about right now. What would be the best way to output video or media into a DirectX surface for further like pixel shading or displaying on the screen. I think I've seen some APIs for like copying a frame from a media stream or maybe the sync writer, whatever it is you mentioned.
So those videos may already be on video stream. That's what I said when I talk about direct acceleration. So they will end up on texture, and you need to use a few APIs to extract it from our media sample. You get a buffer, then you need the query interface for IDXGI buffer, I believe, and then you can access the DirectX texture.
Okay, thanks, sir.
And that's also available if you're writing, like, let's say, an effect. You can write a DX aware effect, or if you want to plug into the either for playback or for capture or for the source reference integrator, all of our APIs support the DX video frames.
Yeah, on the source side, you can generate frames as textures as well, and then pass it further to pipeline.
So I think this is kind of related to what was being mentioned. If you wanted to create a Windows Store app where the user was interacting with the video in some way. So one example might be a John Madden-style telestration on top of a sports video. How would you go about doing that? Would you think video effect first, or would that be done at a higher level? Maybe in the XAML, or you know, layering something on top of a media element, or maybe you could riff off of that a little bit.
So, I mean, I have a couple of comments, unless you want to jump into.
Sure.
It really depends on if you need to be synchronized with the video and what level of synchronization. So, if you're programming to the either the media element or the video tag, you're kind of limited in how much you can synchronize those two, basically your animations or your graphics on top of it. But I mean, you can do it with certain level of granularity. It depends on what you're doing. But if they need to be fully in sync and down to the specific frame, you may be better off just either writing your own media source that generates these frames and composites them and sends them into our video renderer. And we've seen people that have done that with alpha blended video on top of the rest of their UI. So you can certainly do it that way, but you can also just composite your video elements and your other graphical elements on the screen. Again, though, if that's your scenario for your app, for a long running app, you also need to consider the performance aspects too of rendering. Any more comments on that?
All right. Thank you for all of the great questions. I appreciate you hanging out and asking these guys. Thank you for answering the questions. We will be probably around for a few more minutes if you have any additional questions. And again, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.